Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news. And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Michael, we will begin with you. Much to discuss when it comes to the vax rule from the Biden administration. I know the Fifth Circuit in New Orleans recently stayed that January 4th deadline. This is for private companies with over 100 workers. Do you think that this will be enough, though, to stop what many call a government overreach?
Well, the White House has given indication that they're still interested in pushing businesses in this direction, and there is even rumors and talk that it will go below that 100 employee threshold. But the fact is, this is an agenda item that the White House seems to want to push, and I'm sure this is going to end up in the United States Supreme Court, and then we'll have to wait and see what they do about it. But it is impacting a lot of businesses, a lot of people, and livelihoods are at stake, so it's a critically important issue.
Yeah, and Jason, when I think about these OSHA regs, the more I learn, the less I know. The White House is telling companies, prepare for this to take effect despite this court injunction. What advice would you give these private organizations?
Well, I think we're seeing the Biden bully pulpit, similar to what Andrew Cuomo and now Kathy Hochul is doing here in New York, is they say things at press conferences. They make statements that trying to use the bully pulpit to get employers to do what they want them to do, even though I question the legitimacy of whether or not they have the authority to do so. So, you know, companies need to prepare. I understand that. Do what you got to do to prepare, but nobody needs to pull the trigger. I think this is going to the courts, and I think we'll be victorious in the end.
All right, we saw that big vax rally yesterday in Harrisburg as well, so people are pretty passionate about this. They're also passionate about that spending spree that's going on in D.C., Michael. I don't know where they plant the money trees down there by the Capitol, but boy, I'd like one or two. This infrastructure bill, $1.2 trillion, some are saying it may provide more impetus to that larger Build Back Better plan. What effect do you think this will have on the overall inflation crisis in this country?
Well, that's the biggest issue that is coming from this, just filling the coffers, filling the financial markets and the economy with money creates the inflation that Americans are seeing. It. They're seeing it at the gas pump, at the grocery store, in housing, in every place, and it makes money less valuable.
Yeah.
And then the government is pumping this money out to people in checks to families and all these payments that are being made that are flooding the market and causing this inflation. So I don't see any other result than increased inflation as a result of what's happening here.
Yeah, we see inflation today, was reported as at a 30-year high now, so we're all feeling it. I want to know, Jason, how damaging do you think John Katko's vote was to him? He was one of the 13 House Republicans that supported this infrastructure deal. His yes vote on infrastructure, did he just kiss his political career goodbye?
I think it depends on where the district lines are redrawn. Representative Katko is assuming that he will have a more Democratic district in 2022 than he presently does. If he has a more Democratic district, that vote may help him. But getting through a Republican and conservative primary may be challenging for Congressman Katko.
And let me ask you a quick follow-up, Jason. Would Tom Reed have voted the way he did if he was not retiring next year?
Well, I think any time a congressman has to answer to the electorate, they're more inclined to listen to their base. But when they're not running for re-election, well, then they're free to do whatever their heart desires.
All right, let's get into the nitty-gritty on some state stuff. Michael, we saw Commonwealth Court this week. In fact, just a couple days ago, make this announcement on the mask mandate in school. The governor has already said he anticipates this ending in mid-January, but based on what we saw a couple days ago, will it be much sooner than that?
Well, it is kind of immediate in terms of what the Commonwealth Court did in their ruling, but Governor Wolf says he's going to immediately appeal. And so the question is, what will the Pennsylvania Supreme Court do? Will they take this case and will they grant the governor what he wants, which they seem want to do almost every time he asks them to do something? I think, you know, part of the issue here is that the governor wants to hold on to the power. Even though he said he's ending the mask mandate in January, he doesn't want his power taken away, and that's why I think he's filing this appeal.
All right, Governor, former Governor Andrew Cuomo making news this week as well, Jason. The Attorney General released a 515-page report on her investigation. But that criminal case out of Albany County, that's run into a little turbulence here. What's going on?
Yeah, there's some question regarding what Sheriff Apple in Albany County has put forward. There's some concern over the timing. Some of the statements that have been made. I think the former governor is seeking to try to pull some politics into this at the moment. But unfortunately, there was some disconnect between the DA and the sheriff, and it's left an opening for Cuomo to attack what's happened there in the county.
All right, Michael, last I checked, there's like 63 governor's candidates on the Republican side. Now, a little high there, but boy, it seems like everybody's jumping in these days. I got another big announcement this week from Jake Corman, and we saw some others that you know well that are jumped into that field. Of course, Tom Wolf is prevented by law from running again. Crowded field, but not a lot of Democrats. How come?
Well, that's because the sort of 800-pound gorilla is Attorney General Josh Shapiro. He has made his intentions known pretty much from the time he was a state legislator in Harrisburg that he wants to be governor, and a lot of people say he has presidential ambitions. So he's raised a ton of money. He's got the bully pulpit and just the prestige of being the state attorney general, the name recognition as well that comes with it. So he's the front runner, and then he champions a lot of leftist progressive causes like abortion. He's the one who went after the Little Sisters of the Poor in a court case. So he's got the Democratic nomination pretty much wrapped up, and which is why there's hardly anyone else in the race.
Yeah, let me ask you a quick follow-up. I'll put you on the spot here. Jeff Coleman, a dear friend of yours, announcing his bid to be lieutenant governor. How good is his chances?
I think pretty good. You know, Jeff has experience as a former state representative. He's well-known around the state. Comes from western Pennsylvania, but has had a career in the campaign and marketing realm since he's come to Harrisburg. And so he's a very skilled politician, skilled speaker, but also really strong on the issues, and I think he'll be very attractive to Republicans.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit, Jason. Talk prison reform. 6 prisons in New York City will be closing next year, including that Southport Supermax prison down there near Elmira, New York, and a lot of lawmakers down there were caught surprised by this move. Where did this come from? In your opinion, is this a wise move?
Well, it came out of left field, and really, I mean that quite literally, as leftists have been pushing for the closing of prisons in New York for a long time. And Governor Kathy Hochul is, of course, trying to pick up that Democratic nomination, and so more prisons are closing. It's tough, though, because when prisons are full, we hear complaints that they're overcrowded. And yet, when they're not full, we hear that we need to close prisons because they're not full. Yeah. You can't have it both ways, but it's a part of that criminal justice reform that is coming out of Albany these days.
Yeah, and I see some 400 corrections officers now are going to maybe be looking for another job there in the Elmira area. Michael, Governor Wolf calls it an honest mistake. He, of course, by now a lot of people know the story, let his wife drop off his ballot for him on Election Day. Are you surprised that a guy in his standing would not know that that was illegal?
I'm not sure I'm surprised, but he had the opportunity to sign legislation, election reform legislation, that the Republicans put through with Representative Seth Grove as the lead, to make what he did and what his wife did legal, to allow that. That seems simple. You know, if your wife or spouse wants to drop off the ballot for you, seems reasonable. The reason that there's a prohibition against it is they don't want people collecting ballots and dropping them off. I don't know what's going to happen. There are fines that are associated with that kind of transgression. I don't think it's likely that the governor will be charged in any way.
All right. It was the political equivalent of musical chairs, Jason, redistricting in New York State. And how many Republicans do you think will be left standing when it's all over with?
Well, that's a key question. And the lines aren't redrawn yet, so it's difficult to say. And in light of last Tuesday's election, though, it looks like that there could be a red wave even coming to places like New York. And so everything is up in the air. It is an eternity from now until the next election, but it's very possible Republicans could do quite well.
Are we going to get another map or two that will be put out to the public before the legislature makes a final decision next, is probably in January?
Yeah, I expect in the beginning of January we'll start to see that new release of the maps, and I still think it's heading to the courts. So we're nowhere near done yet. We'll see a map or two or more before this is said and done.
All right. And just like that, our time is up. It's the fastest 10 minutes in radio. Man, it flies. But there's so many issues that we can't get to on this program. But if you want to know more about what's happening at the Pennsylvania Family Institute, Michael, where can folks check you out?
PAFamily.org.
Stay informed on the issues as well in New York. Jason, you have a wonderful website. What is that, sir?
AlbanyUpdate.com.